And the weather today in Lincoln, highs of 13 degrees centigrade, lows of 9 degrees centigrade. It's going to be overcast with occasional heavy rain. Overall, mild with light winds.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Last week, of course, Ben, when we were all set to actually feature Gabriella. No go.
Oh no, let down.
Unbelievable. The sad faces that went throughout the city of Lincoln, Gabriella, when you couldn't have your normally bright, sparky self brought on board. We thought something had occurred. We thought we had challenges in all sorts of ways. But anyway, how are you now and what's the weather like in Gibraltar?
I'm good, thank you. The weather is actually surprisingly okay. It's about 16 degrees. Mm. And it's been raining for the past week and a half straight. We're flooding all over south of Spain and Gibraltar. So finally it's dried up and we've got a little bit of sun.
Well, that's all we can need, you know, to actually keep happiness and positivity sort of through. In 1 week from now, Gabriella, we will have the results of the latest Midweek Drivette Bake Off competition.
Okay.
Exactly.
So do people already know what they're baking or...?
Well, we hope so. That's one of the reasons why all the Midweek Drivettes, apart from Ben, who's not entering the competition because he's looking after the rules and regulations and tweeting and social networking, the whole thing, have not turned up this morning. I think they're all set on, you know, coursework fine, academic work fine, but the focus that Hannah and Tessa and Lois and even Martina and Natasha are providing, even Sue Royce, to the Bake Off competition, that's where, obviously, their headspace
too
is
busy,
at.
Too busy looking at recipes, that's what it is.
We've tried to give them advice. We had Annette Andre suggest bread and butter pudding.
William Sitwell suggested a panettone.
Exactly. You know, lots of sort of lines there, but ultimately they have to make their own choice and see what the judges, which of course will comprise Professor Jason Whittaker and possibly a couple of other fine folk as well, including, you know, say, Linda Hewitt, ace bread maker and chief judger of pies and so on. It's all great.
Lovely.
Frodo, is he awake? Is he asleep? Is he conscious? What's his sort of state of affairs?
Definitely not conscious of sleep. He walked this morning, so that was something.
Well,
he didn't even want to walk yesterday. No. He kind of ran away from me as soon as he saw it and went back into bed, but I forced him. Yeah. He had to go out, but he was a bit better about it today, but still knackered.
But after that initial life,
it's such a hard life.
Too much.
You had to wake up.
Can't take too much.
You had to wake up and eat. It's so difficult.
In a world in which, as far as the 21st century is concerned, we're often said that we're living as humans in probably the most stressful time in human history. So much needs to be done now, immediately, sorted. Frodo perhaps has it right. Just go back to bed and sleep. Anyway, or maybe he's missing it. Maybe he's actually creating our reality. Maybe we're all living in some vague creation of Frodo's consciousness.
Who knows?
I would hope that would make me a millionaire, though, if that was the case.
But you are a millionaire, Gabriella, because you're on the Midweek Drive on a weekly basis, except for when, you know, there's a holiday and you forget all about us. That's okay, you know. It's
quite positive.
So are you gearing up for the festive occasion yourself? I mean, we were sharing last night with Martina Wiejka the Polish notions of fish over Christmas, which is very good. Carp, I think it was.
Yes,
exactly. And obviously presents opened on Christmas Eve as opposed to Christmas Day. I suppose that way you could actually sort of do something more useful than, well, we'll put them on eBay or something. I don't know. Don't do that, please. I don't preach at all, and quite rightly so, but I do feel that going on eBay and Amazon and other websites, etc., to sell your presents on Christmas Day, it's sad, I feel, and I think you should do it.
Yeah, that's a bit terrible.
No matter if you...
We've all wanted to do it at some point, haven't we?
You know, no matter if you hate the socks, the jumper, or anything else, remember, gratitude is an attitude that you need to cultivate.
Put on the brave smile.
Yeah, and you'll be amazed how positive things sort of work through. Anyway, Gabriella, yes, what's happening in Gibraltar as far as Christmas is actually concerned? Or is it just a case of, well, no, we hold fire until, New Year's?
No, we do Christmas, yeah. Well, we've already had the Christmas lights. I've put up my Christmas tree. Mm. But I think we do celebrate Christmas a little bit different from the UK. I think food-wise, we have the typical pig's leg that we have every year.
A bit harsh on the pigs, is it? Do you get a lot of sort of...
Yeah, you go into the supermarket and there's just legs, pig's legs hanging everywhere. And they go from... can't remember how much it cost, but they
is this why we obviously have the famous Gibraltarian pig hopping races that we've heard so much about? Sorry, that's really good either. Obviously, there are vegetarian options, presumably. Otherwise, it'll be a disaster in every sense of the word.
I'm not sure.
In Gibraltar,
yes.
You would eat Brussels sprouts.
Right.
And potatoes.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So, it's good to see that you care for the vegetarian consumer in Gibraltar, where you can have Brussels sprouts and potatoes. So it's always fantastic from that point of view. Any vegans thinking of actually celebrating Christmas in Gibraltar, maybe pack your own food. That's what I'd say.
Or the toenail of the...
Or just don't walk into the supermarket for the whole month of December. Because you'll just see pig's legs.
Pocket pork scratches.
As you enter.
These kind of things could be sort of horrendous in so many ways. And what about the Gibraltar Chronicle? Do you continue reporting over Christmas? Is it a case of you work consistently up until Christmas Eve, or do you get any time out at all?
Oh, we do get time out. We work until the 23rd, and we prepare in advance our Christmas edition, and then we don't start again until the 27th this year. So we do give ourselves,
As I say, the season of Midweek Drive programmes comes to a conclusion for 2016 next Thursday, when effectively we'll be having our last official programme of the year. There'll be a few podcasts that might be sort of emerging and so on, and then we resume second week in January. So there we are, dates for your diary in all sorts of ways with season 8 or 9 or whatever for the 27 year. Exactly. That is what the year will be next year, 2017, at least as far as my calendar actually goes. In Gibraltar, it could be something completely different. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Gabriella Peralta?
Yes, I have, thank you.
Good. Frodo's still asleep, is he?
Yeah. Heavy breathing, I can hear it from here.
Will you be returning for the final concluding aspect of telephonic connections between Gibraltar and the rest of the world? In 7 days from now.
Yes, I will be.
Enjoy this trip. Enjoy this trip. And it is a trip.
Countdown is progressing.
Uno, dos.
Prime ministers and presidents may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions remains.
As Ben rightly said, the perfect tune to ice your cakes to. Ice on, ice off, ice off. The theme from S Express by, strangely enough, S Express. And it's 13 minutes past 8 o'clock on the morning of Thursday, the 8th of December, 2016, 100 years after D.W. Griffith had actually produced an epic of its kind. I won't say bring your own sheets, but it's been done again. Birth of a Nation, 2016. Nate Parker has directed. He's written the screenplay. He's written the story. He's done all sorts of things. What will Richard Fitzwilliams make of Birth of a Nation with Armie Hammer? Wasn't he a wonderful Ilya Kuryakin in Man from U.N.C.L.E., Penelope Ann Miller, and more? Richard, welcome.
Well, Alex, I can only say that it's going to be a very, very interesting film to discuss. Now, by that, I mean, of course, you're absolutely right. 100 years since D.W. Griffith's notorious Birth of a Nation. I mean, he was a cinema pioneer, but let's be frank, the Ku Klux Klan were the heroes. That was then. This was a film that got raves at Sundance. It was considered fantastic. And the point is, and this is what is probably rather sad, I think, it is an absolutely remarkable film. I mean, this is Nate Parker's debut as a director. It depicts the first major slave rebellion. This was in Southampton County in Virginia in 1831, and he sees it as a step towards the freedoms fought for in the Civil War. led by a slave, Nat Turner, who believed he'd been chosen by God, who'd called upon him to extract a terrible revenge for the sufferings of the slaves. What an incredible movie it is. It's powerful, it packs a punch. Turner is played by Nate Parker himself, and he's played by a heroic figure. Now, history seems to indicate that the real Turner was somewhat of a fanatic. Now, here he gives an extremely strong performance as a hero. What's interesting, initially he's a favored slave. He's taught to read, and then he's very articulate. So Armie Hammer, playing Samuel Turner, his master, a near bankrupt and somewhat of a drunk, hires him out to preach obedience to the slaves of other landowners. Of course, he's appalled by what he sees. After the gang rape of his wife, Cherry, played by Aja Naomi King, and a brutal flogging by his master for baptizing a white man, he believes he's received a divine summons to rebel, and there's a bloody massacre of white slave owners and their families. Now, this is a movie which has every potential, because it's extremely good, very well acted, a very grainy documentary feel in the photography, all the potential, especially in the year after 2 years of Oscar So White, which is, of course, the problem the Academy faces.
I sense and a butt is coming any moment now, actually.
The butt has to come because the movie's chances, I'd say, of doing well at the awards ceremony are pretty well nil. The film has been mired in controversy, and anyone wanting to see more about this could look online. Parker and his co-writer were involved in a rape case, and this is and has been extremely damaging, especially as the film invents a fictional rape as the reason for the revolt. It bombed at the American box office. It's been a subject of enormous controversy, and you cannot review the film without mentioning that. You could say, for example, look at, say, the career of Roman Polanski, how controversial that was. Look, what a talented movie, how powerful this is. I mean, I'm still, have to be frank, I'm still haunted by some shocking scenes of cruelty. You remember 12 Years a Slave, I can't see a willow tree without remembering Chiwetel Ejiofor being hung from the tree and just surviving because on tiptoes he was able to, whilst everyone just moved around him as though the scene was normal, he was just able to balance and live. Here we see a force-fed slave, and I mean, I can see it now, it's what we're meant to remember. But 12 Years a Slave took very, very few liberties with history based on a book written by the character played by Chiwetel Ejiofor, whereas this takes a great many liberties with history. Not all of what is depicted happened in this way at all. Therefore, the movie is a cause célèbre when it comes to controversy, and that has unfortunately overtaken the merits, which are considerable of a movie like this.
Okay, Ben, you've seen the trailer. Would you consider, from Richard's views there, a film mired in controversy behind the scenes, admittedly, would you say, yep, that's for me?
Yeah, I think I would. I mean, obviously there's things been going on behind, but I don't think I'd take that into consideration when watching the film. Maybe afterwards, perhaps, but I don't think that should affect my judgment on a film. I think it's quite sort of Roots-esque about it, you know, Roots the...
As in Alex Haley.
Yes.
Oh, yes, well, mind you, I would add it is much, much tougher, more powerful than Roots. I mean, this is, again, like 12 Years a Slave was, I think, visceral movie-making.
Mm.
I mean, you also, in the case of this rebellion, I mean, I have to be frank, I'd never heard of it. One of the important aspects of historical cinema sometimes, I think, is to take an event that's hidden or one that's lesser known and give it prominence. And also visually, it has this documentary quality about it that can lead people to believe everything shown happened. Of course, the suffering of slaves was absolute hell on earth. But it does take a very large number of liberties with history, especially since there are those, and I think for some reason, who believe that Nat Turner was more fanatic than freedom fighter. But nonetheless, it is an absolutely remarkable film with splendid performances.
Would D.W. Griffith be proud, or would he be spinning in his grave?
Well, if he was alive, he'd turn in his grave, as I think, wasn't that Mark Twain?
Ironic, if he was alive, he'd turn in his grave. I see what he did there, Richard. Meanwhile, high school life gets even more unbearable for Nadine when her best friend, Krista, starts dating her older brother. OMG!
You feel you've been there before, but you haven't been.
Am I not on the edge of 17? 10 things I hate about you?
Well,
really?
Sort of thing, exactly. The thing, what I loved about this movie is it's another of these movies about adolescent angst, and goodness me, I mean, we'd seen it before, we probably saw it before. Was it quite good? Was it amusing? Well, no, this is extremely good, because Nadine, at the age of 17, who goes to school and tells her history teacher she's going to commit suicide. The history teacher, by the way, is Mr. Bruner, and he is played by the inimitable Woody Harrelson. But what is wonderful, Nadine is played by Shailene Woodley, and she is absolutely marvellous. I mean, she's really, really good. And we see a flashback to her at 7, and then also at 13. Her father's sad death from a heart attack, how she's affected, the neuroses of her mother, played by Mona Sedgwick, and also the mother favours Darian, played by Blake Jenner, her older brother. She's been closer to her father, she gets depressed, and this leads to an aggression. It also leads to her being rude. She's unsure what she wants, and this, of course, is fateful to her relationships, both with friends such as Krista, and also what happens when Krista gets involved with a boy she's fond of and so forth. But
what one minor caveat there, Richard. Did you say Shailene Woodley plays Nadine?
I said that Shailene Woodley plays Nadine.
Well, I think it's Hallie Steinfeld Steinfeld. Shailene was fantastic in obviously the Allegiant Insurgent Divergent series and, of course, The Fault in Our Stars. But for a moment there, I thought, have we gone on to a different line entirely? It's astounding. The planetary stars and alignments must have actually gone slightly skew-whiff if Richard has actually mistaken.
I forgive you, Richard. Don't worry.
I must have been fantasizing.
Well, clearly.
I forgive you, Richard.
Apart from that, carry on, sir. It's all very good.
Well, I have to say that it is eventually a movie that you'll think back and you'll savor because, and this is the reason. The reason that you will remember this movie is because Nadine is so tremendously impossible, rude, outrageous, aggressive, that few people want to know her. Mr. Bruner doesn't give up on her. But what actually happens is this. She is attractive. She has something there. And she's obviously suffering from a certain amount of self-loathing. There's a problem, quite a serious problem. Several serious problems. Does she make it through? And is she worth watching? Frankly, for the performance, absolutely. And it's a sensitive film. And also, her mother, quite frankly, is a more nervous wreck than person. So it's a film I was absolutely fascinated by because it's extremely well acted. And I liked it. I think it's a movie that's also got exceptionally good reviews. And the reason the reviews are so good is it's just that curious look at an adolescent who seems to have absolutely everything going against her because of her own behavior. Yet somehow you want to hang in there and wish her well, even when she's being outrageous and obnoxious.
So, Ben, clearly, we can empathise in so many ways with 17-year-old girls on the edge of adolescence. We've been there in past lives, I'm sure. What did you make of Edge of 17, The Edge of 17, directed, of course, by Kelly Freeman Craig and starring Hayley Steinfeld, Blake Jenner and Hayley Lou Richardson? Will you be checking it out?
I think I'd give it a go. The only problem is, just because it's obviously American, I'm not too sure if I can relate to it as much. Yeah. Unlike
different language, different culture.
Well, unlike something like Inbetweeners, when obviously that works for the for over here. I don't know. I mean, I'd still give it a watch. Probably.
And of course, Richard was a big fan of both Inbetweeners movies.
Yeah.
It is a more it's an extremely sensitive film. Kelly Freeman Craig is the director. Not one I know, but it's a movie. It'll draw you in. There are sensitive character studies.
Well, that's all we need, Richard. I detect you're not quite on top form today, Richard. Are you suffering with a flu bug or something?
You are, unfortunately.
I thought
correct.
So. I could tell you see the normal ebullience and effervescence that Richard brings, the Fitzwilliam's fizz, as we've referred to it over the months and years that we've worked together. Just felt a couple of notches down, but nevertheless, the consummate professionalism.
It's the Christmas flu.
He still sees it through.
Frank, I'm able to function by prowling up and down the room and attempting to throw the fizz in the air and see if a little bit
exactly. And that positive energy will come back so that by the time we speak again next week, Richard, you'll be back to peak form, probably having checked out the latest Star Wars movie.
I am hoping that will be the case.
Well, there we are. Last two questions, please, Ben, for form's sake.
Richard, have you enjoyed your time at Olympus today?
I have indeed.
And will you be joining us next week?
Yes, I certainly will be. Oh, and incidentally, did anyone see my piece in the Mail diary?
Ah, yes, the interesting one about the honours. I was going to talk about that today, but I think we'll save it till next week. An outrage for the former editor of International Who's Who about some of the absentees and issues relating to
that. I never got informed of that, so I might have a read myself.
Exactly.
Do you want to plug the publication it was in, Richard, at all?
Daily Mail.
Daily Mail.
No, okay. Diary. And it quoted me verbatim.
Yeah.
Online or in print?
It's both.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Yeah, right, I'll take a look in the next few minutes.
Always the way forward. As Paulina Jane would say, love's gonna always win. Last Friday, there was I writing the script for preparations, and I was thinking, wandering around the St. James Park region, seeing a couple of wheels which possibly had come off the whole sort of system there after the Nottingham Forest result, fully expecting Brighton to take over as pole position leaders against Cardiff on Saturday. But given what happened at the Etihad with a certain sort of outrageous pair of decisions by the referee to send two living legends off the pitch, I feel...
Won't quite go that far, but...
It's difficult times, you see. All set to work through that. Still, at least we got a draw against Celtic, which is better than Leicester City managed against Porto.
It's Celtic.
Yeah, but, it was a City player on loan, Patrick Roberts, who scored, so he's just sort of trying to perk himself into next season's squad, obviously. Good morning, Ian Lennox. How are we?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very good indeed. And in terms of the whole sequence, where would you like to go telephonically? I mean, do you want to talk about Christmas, festive scenarios? Do you want to talk about Newcastle's slightly stuttering times in the Championship? Or would you like to actually just ignore that completely and take us into a whole new area, such as arthritis research in the UK?
Oh, I suffer from arthritis, actually.
Well, a new study by the charity Arthritis Research UK shows that 2 in 5 of us don't feel confident about talking about our health with our employers. Moreover, we don't expect much sympathy from our colleagues either. And 1/3 of people living with a long-term health problem feel their co-workers don't understand the impact of their condition. Arthritis actually affects 1 in 6 people in the UK, yet only 60% of working age people living with the condition are employed. And arthritis and musculoskeletal conditions such as back pain are the number one cause for workplace sickness absence in the UK.
Arthritis is?
Mm.
Oh, I never knew that.
No, I'm sure.
I can't remember anybody being... I know some people who've had really bad cases of arthritis. And,
Well, we'll be talking with the head of Arthritis Research UK, in fact, head of public policy and public affairs at Arthritis Research UK, Tracy Loftus, in about 18 minutes or so from now. And we'll hopefully sort of find out what Tracy's view on the whole thing happens to be. Anyway, moving on from that perspective, that neatly brings us around to Camo's tune from yesterday. Which is interesting. We haven't quite managed to get that into a snappy title as yet. I'm sure we will, Ian, probably by around about 2021. That's years as opposed to 21 minutes past 8. It's called Out of Style by a chap called Aaron. Are you ready to listen to this?
I am.
Everybody said you never make it too far with some poor boy playing on some pawn shop guitar. You know my crazy dreams were busting at the seams, just like these old boots and chains.
Never going out of style.
the Ian Lennox theme there, never going out of style. Did it float your boat, sir?
Yeah, it was fine. It was quite fast and jolly. And,
pacey, as we said last
pacey,
night.
Yeah, pacey.
As
best
we
thing.
Said last night to Camo, the ultimate acid test of any of these tunes he sends us from Nashville, brave new artists, so they actually are, and sometimes established artists, is how does it sound down the telephone line on a Thursday morning to somebody in Newcastle upon Tyne?
I do hope that's not the criteria.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've got enough problems about that.
Oh, challenges and so
on. No, I'm fine. It was fine.
Excellent.
I did also do a little experiment. I've discovered I hear slightly better at my right ear than the left.
Hey!
Change the phone round.
See, that's what the old tympanum and membranes and everything is all about. It's truly wonderful. It was only a week ago we were actually running a feature on hearing as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just, you said, well, if you'd heard our podcasts, you'd know. let us move on to some very important news regarding the Lincoln Music and Drama Festival. Yes, it's happening soon, and you can actually get the syllabus for the Lincoln and Music and Drama Festival from Balegate Post Office, curiously in Balegate, Lincoln, the Music Room in the High Street, Lincoln, Ruddocks of Lincoln in the High Street as well, or indeed go directly to the festival website, which would be lincolnmdfest.org.uk, and you can find the syllabus for the 2017 Lincoln Music and Drama Festival all there, with online entry and payment being made available in the new year. They're also seeking a stewards' coordinator, it would seem, a voluntary stewards coordinator to join the friendly team of fine folk who organise the Lincoln Music and Drama Festival. So external stuff from that point of view. If you're interested, Ian, your main duties as a voluntary stewards coordinator will be to maintain databases, draw up rotas, liaise with stewards, and of course attend the festival, which I know you're keen to find out. When is it? It's the first two full weeks in March next year. Yeah, congratulations. Someone knocking at the door there. Well done. Huzzah, huzzah. The first two full weeks in March, and that's where you could actually check out the Lincoln Music and Drama Festival or lincolnmdfest.org.uk.
You don't want to get that one wrong.
Yeah, you don't know where you could head off to. Anyway, speaking as one who actually used to take part in various festivals up and down the country, Eskdale and Scarborough and so on, or Halcyon Day. Were you ever a sort of festival attendee, Ian, in terms
no,
of...
No, not really. No. My daughter goes to a lot of things down the quayside and musical things and stuff like that, my eldest daughter.
They're a way of celebrating culture in an otherwise barren environment that we might happen to exist in. So it puts a little shaft of light through our systems there.
Incidentally, when I was listening to the music, a thought did occur to me, which is quite rare, as you know, that our two clubs are linked this week by the fact that both of them had two players sent off in the same match.
Yes, this is so true. Exactly. Yep.
I'll suggest that all comparisons there end.
No,
yours was sending off with one of the worst fouls I've ever seen.
Oh, please.
And fighting in the pitch.
Oh,
and ours were both rescinded by the FA, which is absolutely unprecedented.
Well,
what about that one the weekend as well with Preston North End? I don't know if you saw that with Jermaine Beckford and I forgot the other fellow's name now. But,
no,
fighting between each other on the same team.
Oh, yes, and Newcastle had an incident of that in about 15 years
Lee
ago.
Bowyer and Kieran Dyer, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
I'm sure they still send each other Christmas cards.
And Barry, is he Manchester City player? No, ex-Manchester City player, plays for
Everton
now.
Yeah.
He actually intervened.
Yeah.
He's considerably larger than either of them.
That's Gareth Barry for you, you see.
Yes.
So there we have it then. Ian's perceptive comments on the connection between Manchester City, obviously in the Premiership, in the top four of the Premiership, and Newcastle United, clearly in the Championship at present.
That is relevant because...
Because some people might be confused. They might sort of not understand. They might still think it's all about Lincoln City, who are indeed top of... Are they still top of?
They've just won the FA Cup the other day, didn't they, against Oldham.
So Lincoln City on the march.
It's switching the next round.
Yeah.
The World Cup next week, then, is it?
Please. Lincoln is not a city or indeed a country. It's a city, but not a country, OK?
I've got your policy.
They'll probably still do a better job than England.
These days, Roy Hodgson said he's available as well. So, possibility of a successor to Rafael Benitez, I think, actually. You know, take Roy Hodgson on board.
Now, the league they're in, how far is that off being in their football league?
They're in League Two, I think. Or, no, Blue Square.
Yeah,
Oh, Vanarama, isn't it?
The
Vanarama
Championship. They're actually, they are literally just outside. Well, they're in the pyramid. So one more promotion and they'll be back in the league, back in League Division 2.
Back in League 2, yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
After this season, I assume they get promoted this season.
Yeah.
And then they've got one more promotion after that.
That's right. And then two more promotions into the Premiership.
Wow.
Where Newcastle and Brighton will be next year.
Oh, well, there you are.
Hopefully.
And then Alex will be sobbing at the fact we beat them.
Yeah, no, we look at the long game in these kind of areas. There are obviously occasional sort of errata that occur in any way, shape or form. We just have to cope with it.
If Ray Houghton, when Houghton comes up to Newcastle, you get a hell of a reception up here. He comes up when Brighton come up. I haven't been up this season yet, I don't think.
Chris Houghton, of course. Ray Houghton being a footballer for Liverpool, etc. And commentates on various radio stations. Chris Houghton. Or is it Houghton?
Houghton. I was going to say, it is Houghton.
Ex-Spurs fullback, it was.
Indeed, yes, and former Newcastle United manager who was responsible for promotion and then he was given the marching orders.
Elbow,
and then Norwich, he helped Norwich out as well.
Or, as we occasionally used to say, back in the 20th century, the Order of the Spanish Elbow. That's about it. Somebody might actually respond to that, maybe not. It's coming around 2:17 minutes to 9 o'clock here on Siren FM. And as we mentioned, we'll be talking to Tracy Loftus from Arthritis Research UK. Dan Tewitt, an actor whose credits include Ian, Game of Thrones, MI, Harry Potter, and he also has played cricket with Ben Lewis.
Yep.
So who's this chap?
Dan Tewitt.
Right.
Hopefully he's not listening at present, but when I looked at Dan initially, I thought he looks remarkably like the house elf in Nobby the House Elf in the Harry Potter series. He's not.
I don't know if we take that as a compliment or not, do you?
It's difficult. I mean, obviously, when I chatted to him in the pre-show
chat, promising to me.
I didn't turn around and say, Dan, you look just like Nobby the House Elf, because I thought, no, but I do think, certainly some of the photographs, if you compare Nobby the House Elf with Dan Tewitt, you think, there's a lot of similarity there.
All right. I'll leave that one for you to say.
Well, we should work our way through that. The last two shows, of course, today and yesterday, both been blessed with members of the Ben Lewis Academy of recommended guests and so on. Last night we had a fine scooter gentleman who was on board, and you can listen again to the podcast when it goes up later on today. And that was Dave, of course. Dave Walker,
yeah.
Was he needed at the Lincoln Theatre Royal after all?
Think he was, yes. He went there straight after, so.
Just as well he got
to find out how he got on,
there, but he had to deal with the flies, Ian.
He wasn't dealing with flies, he was a flyer.
Yeah, well, dealing with flies, being a flyer, all of these things when it comes to changing scenery, pretty critical. Don't know what you were thinking we were talking about John Wenham, but it certainly wasn't, changing scenery. Anyway, there we are. That's about it then, Ian, I think, for this morning's scenario, because we've got one more show to go before the season ends, which will be next Thursday, which means that Ben could put those last two questions to you.
Ian, have you enjoyed your 10 o'clock lymphus this morning?
Yes, I have, especially a bit about the sendings off.
Yes, and will you be joining us again in 7 days' time?
I hope so.
And
yes.
Ollie and Obo, are they still thriving?
Ollie's just come in for his breakfast.
Hello,
Ollie. Sorry, Obo.
Hello, Obo.
Responsible for a brief pause in the conversation with my part.
Well, that's to say, brief pause or cat's
feet. He's out again now.
He's places to do, things to see, kittens to actually schmooze with, etc. It's a whole new world.
Cat flaps earns its money, I tell you.
Yeah. Well, a cat flap is for life, not just for Christmas, as many people have actually said. Did you ask him the other question?
I did, yeah.
He's coming back then.
Yes.
That's good. We'll see you in a week's time.
Okay.
Throw my troubles to